So we're on lesson 6. This is page 77. And the exercise 2. So these are some verses from Anguttara Nikaya. I'll read first in Pali and translate and explain. Yathāpi chando vimalo kacchang akasa dhatu ya sabetara kane loke abaya akiloke tateva sthira sampano sado purisa pugaro sabe machavino loke chagena akiloke. Okay, yathāpi means, or actually, yathā means just as. And it often is used to introduce a simile. So yathāpi is the same meaning. The P indicates that there will be a series of similes. Okay, chando means what?
Moon.
Moon and vimalo.
Clear.
Yeah, vimalo means
light.
Bright, clear. Literally, mala is a stain or defilement. And vimala means without stains, without defilements, without blemish, without a blemish. So it's the stainless moon. Okay, gacchang, the note explains that this is the nominative singular of the present participle. It's the same as gacchanto. And akasa dhatuya, here, dhatuya is an indirect case of dhatu, which means element. So dhatuya, through the sky, through the space element. So just as the stainless moon moving through the space element, tatuya, maybe I think it could be locative. That makes the best sense. Moving in the space, in the sky element, the space element. Sabe tara, tara, okay, the verb is ati rochati, which comes from rochati means to shine, and ati rochati, ati means to outdo. So ati rochati is to outshine, and the indirect noun here is abhaya. This will be instrumental case of abha. Abha means light, radiance. Then the object are, the object is sabe tara gane. Sabe means all. Tara gane. Tara means star. And gana means collection, group, or host of stars. So it's a host of stars, groups of stars. So to take both lines together, just as the spotless moon moving through the space element outshines with its radiance all the groups of stars in the world. And completing it, tat deva. This is a contracted form of tata plus eva. Tat deva means just so. And the two, yathāpi, that is the relative, which introduces the simile, and tateva completes the simile by showing the object of comparison. Okay, so tadeva seva sampano sato purisa pugala. Just so the person, purisa pugala, purisa usually means man or person, pugala, individual, but together they just can mean person, individual person. Okay, just so the individual who is sila sampano, is one who possesses virtue or good moral conduct. And then sato comes from sada. Sada means faith or trust. And so sato is a person with sada, a person with trust or faith. And this person who is possessed of virtuous conduct, who has faith, he outshines atirochati through his chagena, through his generosity, he outshines all the macharino, all of the miserly people in the world, all of the selfish people in the world. And this verse is chosen because macharino is an example of the declension on page 84 of the type of noun that ends with I-N. And with this type of noun, you have to be a little careful because the nominative plural and genitive singular have the same form, macharino. But here the verb indicates that this is an accusative case. So let's put everything together. Just as the spotless moon moving through the space element outshines with its radiance all the groups of stars in the world, just so the person endowed with moral conduct, full of faith, outshines by his generosity all the miserly people in the world. And the next verse. Yatapi mego tanayam biju mali sata kaku talam ninancha pureti abhivasam basumya evam dasana sampano samasam buddha savako macharing adi ganhati pancha tanehi pandito. Okay, again, yatapi, just as. And mego means what?
Rain cloud.
Tanayan, what does it mean?
Thunder.
Yeah, and what part of speech is this?
Nominative of accusative.
It's a nominative accusative, is it?
Yeah.
No. Isn't that like saying this is a hot, cold cup of water? What part of speech is it? What part?
What does it mean, what part?
Also, just like
what form?
Thunder, rain, cold, cloud.
Yeah. Not, I'm not asking the case, but what kind of, I don't know what word to use.
Subject of the sentence?
What particular form is this tanayam? Is it a verb, adjective, adverb?
Yeah. Well, the book gave us tanayati, which is a verb.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it transfers to tana.
This is a sentence?
No.
So my guess is one who is roaring.
Yeah, but what part of speech is that roaring?
Okay. The cloud. The rain cloud.
The cloud is roaring. Yeah.
Right.
The word for roaring is tanayan, but what part of speech is that?
What part of speech is that?
Yeah.
She has the answer.
Adjective.
It has an adjectival function, but it's not precise enough.
Present participle?
That's it. Present participle. You would have the normal present participle would be tanayanto, but in verse, occasionally in prose perhaps, they use a shorter present participle, tanayam. Just like in the previous verse, you have gacchan. Akasadatiya. So, we could have present participle, singular, nominative.
Is this an irregular form, or is this a form we haven't learned yet?
It's a regular form.
It's a regular form.
It's just that the normal present participle. Participle is gacchanto.
Right.
But occasionally, particularly in verse, a shorter form is used. Gacchan. I think they should. I'm surprised that this must have been introduced already. Let's just see where they have. Page 37. At the top of the page where they have the box showing the declension of the present participle for gacchati to go. They give the alternatives gacchanto / gacchan.
Okay,
so just as the rain cloud thundering. Okay, then, Viju Mali Satakaku. These are just like poetic description. Viju is lightning, and Mala is a garland. So Viju Mala would be a garland of lightning. Then one who possesses a garland is said to be Mali, or one who is wearing the garland, Malin. And in the masculine case, that becomes Mali. So this is a poetic description of the rain cloud as having a garland made up of flashes of lightning. Just as a person might wear a flower garland. And Satakaku, Sata means 100, and Kaku means corner or point. So the rain cloud was a very complicated shape, so it's said to have 100 corners. Talang minansha pureti. Okay, Tala means the high ground, and Nina is the low ground. And Pureti means to fill up. So it fills up, this rain cloud fills up both the high ground and the low ground with water. Abhivasan. That is from the verb abhivasati, to rain down. And what part of speech is this?
Present participle. Took us half an hour to figure this one out.
Really? And the sundaram is what part of speech?
Sundaram. Occurs here?
Yeah. That means the meaning is?
Earth.
The earth. So, raining down upon the earth. It fills up the high land and the low land. Evang dasa na sampano samasambuddha savako macharingadi ganhati panchatanehi pandito. Okay, evang also completes the simile, just like tata. I mean, in the same way. In the same way, the disciple of the perfectly enlightened one, Sammasambuddha Sāvaka, Dasana Sampanno, endowed, possessing vision or insight, in the same way, the disciple of the perfect Buddha, the disciple who possesses the Buddha, the Buddha's disciple who possesses insight, macharing adi ganhati panchatanehi pandito. Pandito also goes along with sāvako. So sāvako, pandito, sampanno are all describing the subject of the sentence. And pandito means wise. So we say, just so, the wise disciple of the perfect Buddha, the disciple who possesses insight, adiganhati, here has a sense of surpasses maturing. This is, what case is this?
Accusative.
Accusative. So this disciple of the Buddha surpasses the miserly person, pancha tanehi, with respect to five things.
I'm sorry, so you said pandito.
Yeah.
And dasanan and sampanno all qualifying the perfectly enlightened one?
Not the perfectly enlightened one,
but the disciple.
But the, because this is a compound, Sammasambuddha Sāvaka, so they have the same ending, nominative singular ending.
Right.
So those expressions are qualifying the disciple of the perfect Buddha. So just so, the wise pandito, the wise disciple, the wise disciple of the perfect Buddha, then you would have to say the disciple who possesses insight, dasana sampanna, surpasses the miserly person, pancha tanehi, that's instrumental case, meaning with five cases, or with in five respects. In English we would say in five respects. And those five respects will come in the next verse. Ayuna yasya sa cheva vanena cha sukhena cha save bhoga pari vyuho pecha sage pamodati. Okay, so he surpasses the miserly person with respect to lifespan, because as a result of giving, then he will enjoy a long lifespan. Not necessarily in this life, but as a result of that karma, it could be in some future life. So this ayuna is an instrumental case. I'm not sure if the text explains. It's a rather unusual form. Actually, it's ayu is a masculine noun ending in u, so ayuna is the instrumental of that.
Masculine, not neuter?
Ayu. Could also be neuter.
Oh, yeah, okay, either way, right.
Did you find this in...
Yeah.
It could be taken in either way.
Right, either way.
It might be neuter, actually. But ayuna, it's the same whether it's masculine or neuter. Then yasasa, I'm not sure if the text explains that.
Yasas.
It's another. It's one of these nouns belonging to the same class as manas, one of the rare polynouns ending in s. And so it takes its instrumental with the long a. Normally we would have the nominative yaso, yaso. So it looks like it's a masculine, a normal masculine singular, but the stem form is not like Buddha, but rather the stem form ends in aya. So when you add, when you make the indirect cases, you would have to say yasa sa, you just have the a. If you were to have a genitive, that would be yasa so. Okay, so he exceeds the miserly person with respect to long life. Yaso means fame or glory. Vanena, vanena, with respect to beauty. And sukena, with respect to happiness. Survey boga paribyoga. This vay is just an emphatic, indeed, truly. He truly, paribyoho would mean equipped with wealth or objects of enjoyment. Pecha, do you know what part of speech pecha is? Could you figure that one out?
Adjective?
No. Let's see if the book tells. The book doesn't tell, but you might be able to figure it out.
There are two more choices then. It would be either past participle, or it would be a gerund. I couldn't
think. It's a gerund. It can't be a past participle, but that's a past participles have to be declined. But I'll show you how you get the gerund. The noun is actually pa plus 80. I don't know whether one ever sees the normal, simple, indicative form of the verb. But it forms the gerund. Actually, the root is I. And it forms the gerund by adding. I spoke too quickly, I don't remember how it's formed. But definitely it's a gerund form. It means, okay, eti means to go, sometimes to come, to go. Pa means forward, forth. So pa plus eti means to go forward, or in other words, to depart, in the sense of to pass on to the next life. And so pecha means having passed on to the next life. In fact, pecha is related to the word pecha, which you might know in the Sanskrit form preta, which means, commonly understood to mean the hungry ghost, the spirit. But originally, the word preta referred just to any person who was passed on to the next life, but then it came to refer more narrowly to a class of beings who, when they passed on, didn't quite wind up either in the heavens or back in the human world, but as a kind of a semi-embodied spirit or ghost.
I think it's plus
you take the eight, and then you form the gerund by adding y8 to the eight. That would give you eight bits, and then the a drops off. CYA turns into CCA. Just as in Paticca Samuppada, it's like formed in the same way as Pati plus the verb, literally the same root I plus YA, so it becomes. Let's see, but pati plus atya. Pati plus the root I plus the gerund ending YA. That means having dependence or dependence. Then that will give pati plus atya. But the I in this case drives the E away. And then in Pali you never have a T-Y combination. When you get T and Y come together, they form two C's. So that's how you get paticca. I mean, having dependence.
What does that check mark mean? You have a check mark.
Well, it's not a check, it's a...
The root.
The root, the okay. The root is I. Plus the gerund ending, why is it?
Remember Dr. I?
Yeah, I see that on Dr. I all the time.
Yeah, that's the root. That's what I mean.
So it means that we should follow the declension of I root, is that right? Or I stem?
Yeah.
Okay.
The I is the actual root.
Of the word itself?
Yeah. It's I is the root, and it gives the simple indicative form AP. This means to come or to go.
Oh.
Okay, so we went a long way from this thing. Okay. And so this person who exceeds in long life, fame, beauty, pleasure, provided with wealth or enjoyment, hatcha, having passed away, having moved on to the next life, sage pamodati, he rejoices in heaven. Any questions?
The first verse, where we have Gachan, Yatapi Chando, Nimalo Gachan. The Gachan is qualifying the moon. Is that right? The moon is moving.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my original question was that Gachan is the masculine adjective, and my logical assumption is that it follows the next word, the akasa da tuya, and that would be feminine. So we have a masculine and a feminine noun next to each other, but now you just qualified. You just told me that it qualifies the moon, so it makes
sense. Yeah, Gachan is describing the moon.
Okay. And that's it.
Okay, that's no question. Okay, so we go on to the next question. Okay, prose is easier to do. Okay, Atiko Seilo Brahmano Tihi Manabhaka Satehi Parihuto Yena Te Yasa Jati Lasa Asamo Te Upasankami. Okay, Atiko just means then. The Brahmin named Seilo, then Parihuto means accompanied by. Then remember the explanation last week when you have a group of items in the hundreds. The word for hundred comes after the noun describing the item. And if it's several hundreds, say 300, then the word for three comes first, then the word for the type of item, in this case students, then the word hundred. So the Brahmin Selo, accompanied by, surrounded by 300 students. Then in Pali, when you go to a place, you don't simply go there, but you go to where the place is. So they use a strange, complex construction. Where the hermitage of the ascetic Kamiya was, there he approached Yena, etc. Yena Asamo stain upasankami. We get so often at the beginning of a sutta, but the cold sade, but the cold so deeply, yena bhagava tain upasankami. Then that monk approached the Blessed One, but it said, yena bhagava tain upasankami. Where the Blessed One was, there he approached. And upasankami is what type of verb is this? We had it in last week's lesson.
Aorist.
Okay. Adasa ko seilo brahmano kenya samaye jatile ape kache udanani kanante ape kache katane pavente ape kache bhajanami dobante ape kache udakam manikam pati tapente ape kache asanami kumbhate kenyam panajatilam saman yeva mandalam alam patiyatenta. Okay, adasa is a verb. What form of the verb? Nothing gives away what kind of verb. It's a dead giveaway. What kind?
Past tense.
What is a special word for past tense?
Aorist.
Right, it's the aorist. And what is the giveaway that it's an aorist?
It's the adasa. It's the adasa.
Basati. Past tense of the basati.
Yeah, but what indicates that it's the past tense?
I think the book called this Adasa Paris, isn't it?
Yeah. No.
The augment, okay.
The first part of class, the most shining moment. The augment. The A is the front of the verb. And it's rather unusual to have a verb coming as the first word in the sentence. But occasionally, with special emphasis, that's done, particularly in the past tense description. Okay, so the Brahmin Sela saw the Jatilas. Jatilas were a type of ascetic who had long hair in knots, long knotted hair. And here the word kenya samaye. I don't know if the book explained that. You see, it comes from, kenya is the name of the person, the ascetic. Asama means his hermitage. It's the same as the Pali for the Sanskrit ashram, or modern Hindi, ashram. Okay, so kenya asama is the ashram of Kenya. But to make an adjective out of it, the A turns into IYA. And with this one. So this whole phrase becomes an adjective describing the Jatila aesthetic, matted hair aesthetic. So these are the aesthetics who belong to the hermitage of Kenya. So the Brahmin Sela saw the ascetics belonging to Kenya's hermitage. Then ape kache, together this means some. A kache actually means some, but putting up APP in front of it, it indicates that there's going to be a chain description of different aesthetics doing different things. Okay, so some udanani kanante. He saw some digging pit ovens for cooking. And then he saw some, and Does kanante, what, why is that ending in e?
Plural.
Plural, what case?
Accusative.
Accusative plural, right. Some katani palenti. Some were palenti is splitting katani wood. Some were splitting firewood. Some were bhajanani dovante. Some were washing dishes, vessels. Ape kache urika manika patti ta painti. Some were setting up a water pot. Ape kache asanani panya painti. Some were preparing seats. And Kanyan Panajapiran Samanyeva Mandala Malan Patiya Shanta. And, but the ascetic Kanya Samanyeva, Samanyeva means himself, was Patiya Daintam, setting up, preparing Mandala Mala. That's like a pavilion. It's something like a circus tent. There was a peak, high point, made of canvas, some material. Sometimes they make it out of bamboo with light cloth. So it's a scene, this long chain description gives you a scene of a lot of activity, commotion going on. Okay, this Disvana, Kanyam Jatilang Etadavocha. Having seen this, and Disvana is what form?
Jiren.
Always be around you.
I'll shut up. Okay.
Yeah, you shut up.
Hi.
Okay, Disvana, Kanyam Jatilang Etadavocha. Having seen this, who will translate the rest of it? Anyone to translate? Just that sentence. Not the quotation, just the Kanyam Jatilang Etadavocha. Okay, Sharon.
Having seen this, the general says.
Say again?
Having seen this, the general speaks or says.
You fell into the trap. Somebody else tried.
Say, past the tense.
It's past tense.
Yeah. Past of Vajra.
But what case is Jatilang?
It's a nominative verb.
No, no. Jatilang is accusative.
Accusative.
Yeah. So now can somebody translate it? John? Really? Oh. Wait, John? Go away? Try. I know you do your homework very methodically.
Is there going to be venerable 10 years bride receiving wedding?
No, you're going further than I wanted. Just
Kenya, the ascetic, is both this.
Actually, I understand it differently. I can see you could take it that way, but I understood it differently. I understood having seen everything above, having seen this, the this is implicit. He said this to Kanya the ascetic. He said that, having seen, he said this to Kanya the ascetic.
So how will we know if God's with this?
Well, see, I can see now that you can take it the other way too, having seen Kanya the ascetic.
Right next to the gerund.
Yeah, I just realized it's a little ambiguous. But I thought we'd take it the way I suggested because there follows a conversation between the two. So the conversation would have to open with him saying something to Kanya. Okay, but since Bowie started the next sentence, maybe continue with him. Bowie, just continue to read what you have.
Is there going to be venerable Kanya's bride receiving wedding? A bride sending off wedding?
Yeah.
Or big arms giving, or great king, Makato, in the sorrow of Daniel Crane. presented, invited with the army for tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Kim Nu Ko, that sort of opens the question. Kim Nu Ko, how is it? What is it? Boto, this Boto is that honorific form for Bhavang. I think we had it in this lesson in the grammar section. Yeah, on page 85. It's the genitive for that singular, the honorable or venerable Kenya. Is there for venerable Kenya Abaho, that's the bringing of a bride in a marriage. Or the vivaho, that is when the bride is sent off from the parental home to the home of the husband's family. Mahayanyo is a great sacrifice.
Big sacrifice?
Yeah.
Not offering?
Well, you see, the word yanyo is used in two senses. Originally, in the amongst the Brahmins, it was used to mean a sacrifice.
Maha means great.
Great, maha is great. A sacrifice where many animals would be killed. But then the Buddha took that word over, and then for his own relation to his own community, he reinterpreted yanyo to mean an alms offering. In the case of the Jati lives, I don't know what their practices were. So it could be understood in either way. Either a sacrifice or an alms offering. Or has the great alms offering Pachupatido been set up or been prepared? Or has King Sanya Bimbisara of Magadha been invited, Nimantito, together with that something, Balakayena. Together with Balakayena means literally body of strength, body of power. But it means figuratively the army, together with his army. And you see, something is indeclinable and it takes its object. In what case?
Instrumental?
Instrumental.
Sorry.
Kayena, Bala Kayena. Swatanaya means for the next day, particularly for the next day's meal. Then he answers, it is not literally not for it is not for me. It will not be the bringing of a bride, nor will there be the sending off of a bride. Nor has King Sanya Bimbisara been invited for together with his army for tomorrow's meal. Ah, right here you have to take it as an alms offering, Mahayanyo. But rather, for me, a great alms offering has been set up, was being prepared. For Samano Gautama, that's the ascetic Gautama, Sakyaputo, the son of the Sakyan clan, Sakya Kula Pabajito, who has gone forth, who has entered the homeless life from the Shakyam clan. Anguttara Pesu Charikam Charamano Mahata Bhikkhu Sangena. Okay, this expression Charikam Charamano is used very often in the suttas. It means like walking on tour. So not like a tourist going on tour, but it's the Buddha's practice during the dry season to go walking together with a large number of monks from town to town through the country. So he's been walking on tour among the people of Anguttara Pa, that's some state in northeast India. together with a great or large company of monks, community of monks. And Apanang Anupato, Apanang is the name of the town, the nearest town. Anupato means arrive. So he has arrived at the town of Apana. And so may Nimantito Swatanaya Sadin Bhikkhu Sandhyayanahati. He has been invited by me for tomorrow's meal together with his community of monks.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
I don't understand the not may here.
Yeah, okay, that's
what
a good
does it
question.
Mean?
Namay.
The wedding is not for him, or?
It means that he's not, as an ascetic, he would be married himself, getting married himself.
But wouldn't he want to be participating in the alms offering?
He's going to be participating, you know.
But then there's not pay this, not pay that.
Yeah.
So if it's not May, I was thinking, not for me, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, he's not bringing a bride over. In other words, it's not like he has a daughter who's getting, a son who's getting married and they're bringing the daughter from the other family. It's not the case that he has a daughter that he's sending away in marriage.
Right.
Not the case that he's invited the king for the next day's meal. But Apichako me maha yanyo pachu papito ati. But there is a great offering which has been prepared for by me. In other words, I'm making preparations for a great offering.
So the apicha actually means he will go to this one but not the other one.
Right, right.
Oh, that makes it totally
the apicha,
different.
I'm sorry, the apichako is something like however.
However, okay.
Apicha, however, but.
So the May, the next May would be the Abhichako May, meaning for me, I will go to the big almsgiving. Or for me, the almsgiving is presented.
It's being set up.
He's being set up.
He is setting up for preparing the great offering. Not for himself, but to give to the Buddha tomorrow, the next day.
Oh.
But he is the one, the May means by me.
By me, instrumental.
It could be instrumental or even for me. They live in the sense that they're doing all of the work, his pupils are doing all the work and setting up, making the preparations on his behalf so he can make the offering tomorrow.
And the Pachupati toe, that's past participle.
It's a past participle, but it's used here with ati, so it has a present sense. It has, we must, what did I say, but a great offering has been set up by me.
By me,
okay. Yeah. So he hasn't offered it yet, he'll do that the next day. But he's got all of the preparations made.
But in that case, the Samano Gotamo, isn't that the nominative meaning, the subject of the sentence? So
the
I was...
next sentence.
Oh, the next sentence. Right.
But actually,
right.
You see, the next sentence has been a deletion, so that it throws off the grammar somewhat. The Samano Gotamo Sakyaputra Sakyaputra Sakyakura Papasito and Gutra Paisu Charikam Charamano Mahatabhiku Sangena.
Where is the verb?
The verb would have to be Apanang Anupato. While wandering on tour amongst the Anguttaras, together with the large company of monks, Anupato has arrived at Apana. He has arrived at Apana.
Okay.
Normally one would say Anupato Hoti. That would be better grammatically. Anupato has arrived at Apana.
Okay.
And then the next, So Me Nimantito. He has been invited by me.
By me, okay.
Remember last week when we went over the grammatical explanations, I pointed out?
Yeah.
That in Pali, also Sanskrit, maybe this is why, they tend to be rather passive. They prefer to use this passive construction rather than to say that the subject did this, A did B, A did B to C. They say, this has been done to C by A. By A, this has been done to C. You see this formation explained, page 88. But when we translate it to English, it's better to use an active construction. I have invited him.
Is may near the beginning of the sentence mostly mean this kind of situation, by me, something, something's done for me, something, something's
yeah,
done?
Yeah. May is called a enclitic form, which means that it comes inside the sentence. And it's always an indirect form of the pronoun. By me, for me, to me. Occasionally, by me, for me, to me.
May I ask another question?
Yeah.
Might as well. Charikan Charamano.
Yeah.
I looked at the dictionary. Charikan is of the long A form.
Yeah.
Meaning it's feminine. It's a female form. And then I have Charatimano. Oh, it's
Charamano.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's also feminine.
So Charamano
is masculine. Right, because it's the present participle.
Yeah, that describes...
Of charity.
That describes Gotama, the Buddha. Charamano is the action performed by Gotama, the Buddha.
Okay.
The ascetic Gotama, walking, wandering, on charika. Charika means...
The journey.
The journey, you could say.
Okay, that makes
so
sense.
Charika, the nominative would be charika, that's a feminine noun. But here it's the accusative. So he's walking on tour.
I thought charimano is qualifying charikan.
No.
Okay.
Charikan is the object of the action.
Okay.
The Buddha. Let's say, okay, Buddho Charikam Charity. The Buddha Charity walks Charikam.
The journey.
On a tour. Okay, part of the passage that was deleted in this selection, the Jati Vasero, or Kenya had mentioned the word Buddha. And so Salo says, Budoti bo Kenya Badesi. Bo Kenya, that means honorable Kenya, venerable Kenya. Did you say Buddha? He was surprised to hear this word. Do you say Buddha? And then Kenya says, Budoti go sailor badami. I say Buddha. Then he asks a second time. He can't believe it. Budoti go Kenya badesi. Do you say, honorable Kenya, do you say Buddha? And you see, Budoti, that makes it like direct, like quotation marks. Budoti bo seva badami. I do say, honorable seva, I do say Buddha. Then seva says, go so piko eso du labo lokasmin yaditam Buddha. Go so, normally it means voice, but here it seems to mean sound. Or word. So even this word is doulabo, rare. Literally it means hard to find, hard to gain. Even this word is rare in the world. that is Buddha. Any questions?
What does it mean? What does it mean even the...
Even that word?
Word is rare.
It means it's so difficult to hear even the word Buddha that the very idea that now the Buddha is actually existing in the world and is going to be coming to this place for the next day's meal, it's just like unbelievable or inconceivable.
Are these two people Buddha disciples? Buddha's disciples?
Not yet. Not at this point. I think Kaniya must have had some conversation, meeting with the Buddha that day or some time just before this takes place, and then he would have invited the Buddha to come the next day for the meal. It's not clear whether he's become a Buddhist disciple or not. Maybe not. Sail at this point, of course, he's not yet a Buddhist disciple. He didn't even know that the Buddha exists. But as the sutra unfolds, Salo will question the Buddha about his attainments, then the Buddha will answer him, and then Salo will gain faith in the Buddha, and together with all of his disciples, they become ordained as monks under the Buddha. And then they go off to meditate, and then they quickly become arhats. Then they return, and then they praise the Buddha with verses. This is in the Sutta Nipata. Also, I think it's in the Majjhima Nikaya also. I think I could do the next class as well, but quickly. Shall we do it? Are you tired, or do you want to do it? Okay, I'll do it. Unless you want to help me. But the sentences are pretty easy. Tve me bhikkave pugala loke upachamana upachanti bahu jana hitaya bahu jana sukhaya bahu no janasa ataya hitaya sukhaya. Dve me. What does that mean? Yeah, here you have to be careful. Here the me is not for me, by me, to me, but the me is actually from dve ime. These two, pugala, person, loke upajamana, arising in the world, upajanti, arise, bahujana hitaya. Bahujana means many people. Hita means welfare. So these two persons arise in the world for the welfare of many people. Bahujana sukhaya, for the happiness of many people. Bahuno janasa ataya hitaya sukhaya. Ataya means for the good or benefit. So putting them all together, for the benefit, welfare and happiness of many people. What are the two? Katanete. Tathagato cha araham sama sambhuto. The Tathagata, Rulai.
Rulai. Yeah, your intonation is greatly improved.
Araham, the Tathagata, the Arahat, perfectly enlightened one, and the king, who is Chakravarti, the turner of the wheel. Let's see, Lun Wen.
Guan
Lun Sheng Wan. Guan Yan Sheng Wan. Okay, the king who is a turner of the wheel. That means a universal monarch, a world ruling emperor. And the next sentence just draws the conclusion. These two persons arising in the world arise for the welfare of many people, the happiness of many people, for the good, welfare, happiness of many people. The next Today may be today Kugala, Loke, Upachamana, Upachanti, Acharya Manasa. These two persons arising in the world arise. Here, this is also a denominative, so we have to say that they arise as wonderful men, marvelous men. What are the two? Again, the Tathagata and the world-ruling, wheel-turning Mana. Then, Dvinam Vikare Pugalanam Kala Kiriya Bahuno Janasa Anutappa Hoti. Kala Kiriya means, what does it mean?
Proper. I'm not supposed to answer.
Yeah.
Passing away.
So, the passing away of two persons, anutapa, means to be regretted, or something stronger, you know, you say is lamented, you might say, lamented by many people. Of what two? Again, the same two, except what case is the sentence now? Tathagatasa, Arahato. What is the case?
Thank you.
No. Wait, don't. The case. Yeah, Tathagatasa should be very obvious. I'm sure the newcomers in the mass will be able to tell us. What case? Of the death or passing away of two people, right? You just have to get familiar with these genitive forms. For Runyo, that's from Raja, which means king. Genitive singular, Runyo. And Chakrabarti, the genitive Chakrabartista. Okay, then the next passage. Dve me bhikkhave tu paraha. Do they explain this? Paraha. Yeah, the glossary gives you the word. Yeah, you know what a stupa is?
The pagoda.
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 Pagoda, or you call dark in Sri Lanka, Dagaba, they call it Dagaba. Chaitya, sometimes they call it memorial. Okay, so two, there are these two who are worthy of a stupa. What are the two? Who are the two? The Tathagata. Arahat, Samarat, perfectly enlightened one, and the wheel-turning monarch. These two are worthy of the stupa. Let us try finishing up these verses, and we'll finish this section. Tameva vacham vasaya yayatanam natapaye parechana vihinsaya savevacha subhasita. Okay, vasaya, what type of verb is this?
Present tense.
No, well, it's the type of present, but it's not the normal present. There's a special mood in the present. Go away.
Optative.
Right, optative, which means should speak. And the subject is left unstated, so one should speak. Tam eva vacha. The eva gives emphasis. It's tam, that speech. But only that speech. one should speak only that speech. Yai atanam natapaye. Tapaye is also, it's a dative, optative. So it means, okay, the yaya here. What is the yaya? What function?
Y-A-Y?
Wait, two people speak at the same time. Wait, John, could you speak?
Did you say Y-A-Y? Is that Y-A-Y?
Yeah, yeah.
Nominative singular?
It's...
Nomin?
It's not nominative, no. No. Okay, this is a little tricky. It's Y-A-Y-A. It's the instrumental of the... That goes with vacha. Ya vacha. So it means by which, through which. Page 20. You have the ya, then the instrumental yaya. So the yaya here goes back to vacha. Vacha is actually feminine. So we have tongue vacha. The accusative is ta ba cha, or it's actually sa ba cha. Then the relative of this would be ya ba cha, but then this would become instrumental, become yaya ba chaya. But here you don't have to say vachaya, so it just becomes yaya. So by which one does not torment oneself, cause suffering for oneself. And tapaye, again it's optative, by which one would not afflict oneself. Parejana vihingsaya, and one would not injure or harm others. Pare here, this is accusative. Save vacha subhasita, that speech, that is indeed well-spoken speech. Subhasita means well-spoken. That speech indeed is well-spoken. Piyavat, the next verse. Piyavacham eva vasaya yavacha patinandita. Okay, one should speak only piyavacham. Piyavacham means what?
Pleasant speech.
Right, pleasant speech. Yavacha patinandita. Speech which patinandita? Yeah, speech which is, you say, welcomed by others or rejoiced in by others. Yang anadaya papani paresam basati piya. One should speak. Let's take the verb first. Basate. Actually, the fourth line in sen seems to come before the third line. One should speak what is dear to others. Piyam paresam. One should speak what is dear to others. Yam anadaya papani. Which doesn't bring along evils, let's say, which doesn't entail evil consequences. Perhaps that's the sense.
Could you explain vasa te?
You mean why it ends in an E?
Yeah, I looked up the book, it says middle form, so I have to jump to a chapter much later, or
yeah,
a lesson much
yeah.
later. Well, what does it mean, middle form?
Yeah. It's a form which comes into Pali through Sanskrit. It's much more common in Sanskrit than in Pali. Normally, it gets rather complicated. The middle verbs are verbs which are not they're intransitive. They don't take objects.
Okay.
Like we would say, in English, we have to say, he enjoys himself. He has to put an object, he enjoys himself. But in Pali, it would just be, in Sanskrit, so Rama te, he enjoys, he rejoices. Okay,
okay.
Let's say he rejoices.
Okay.
So it's a verb in which the action doesn't pass from a subject to an object, but the action just remains sort of contained within the subject.
Okay.
So in Sanskrit, the distinction is quite rigorous between middle and active forms of the verb, and they have their own separate declension systems. In Pali, middle forms are very rare. One finds them almost only in verse, and the boundary line between active and middle forms gets punctured with holes. So active verbs like vasati sometimes appear in middle forms.
Then what does it mean? I think we can probably learn this in the appropriate lesson.
Yeah.
But what? How do we translate this here?
It's just the same as you would with vasati.
Oh.
With speak.
See? Not shy for it?
No. Vasati here, one should speak.
Okay.
What is dear to others. Yeah, I can see it's a little confusing because in Pali, you have two verbs which come out the same. Vasati. One means to speak, the other means to shine.
Yeah.
In Sanskrit, they would be different. Bhashati would be to speak, and Vasati would be to shine. So one couldn't mistake them in Sanskrit. But in Pali, all the S sounds get. Sanskrit has three S sounds. Sh, sh, sh. In Pali, they all turn out to be S. So the distinction between vasati to shine, vasati to speak, vanishes. But just from the context, the verse is about speech, right? Not about suns and moons.
Well, I didn't know that's the same word.
So one should speak what is dear to others, what doesn't take along or bring along evil problems, but doesn't entail problems.
How about anadaya? Isn't that a gerund?
That's a gerund, it's a negative gerund. Anadaya is taking.
Right, right.
Without taking. So it's literally without taking evil.
One speak pleasure for others.
Yeah.
So piyan would be accusative.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Wait, yeah. One should speak what is pleasant to others.
Okay. One should speak what is pleasant to
yeah.
others.
Even this third line, I find difficult to see exactly how it fits in. So you interpret it to mean what doesn't bring along problems for others, what doesn't entail difficulties or harm for others.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Does it imply that one may speak one may take evil when one speaks pleasure for others, or speak pleasant things for others.
One could speak what is pleasant to others, but that pleasant speech could lead to harm for them. For example, a flatterer who has some ulterior motives in flattering another person. Maybe he wants to get him to win the favor of the person and then take his money.
I understand that.
Yeah. Pleasant, you are such a wonderful person.
Flattery, yeah.
Okay, the last verse. Sachanve yamata vacha esa tamo sanantano sacheyate chadamecha ahu santo patitita. Okay, sachang is truth. Ve, indeed. Amata vacha, immortal speech. So truth, indeed, is immortal speech, deathless speech. Esa dhammo sanantano. This principle or law is everlasting, ancient. This is an ancient principle, or eternal principle. Sache ate cha dhamme cha ahu. Santo Patitita. Here the Ahu means they say, and the subject of it is not specified. So they say that the good, Santo is plural, masculine plural, the good persons, the holy ones, they say that the holy ones were established, patitita, established in truth, sache, in ate, in meaning, or in goal, in good, in the good, and in dhamma, dhamme. So truth is indeed immortal speech. This is an eternal principle. They say that the good are established in truth, in the goal, and in the Dhamma. It's actually, I have to admit some of these verses are quite difficult.
Yeah.
Let's hope they have more closed passages, or simple verses.
The further readings are more difficult, I think, in chapter 6. Even more difficult.
Are you finding these exercises too difficult?
Further reading 6, they are very long, and the grammar is very difficult. I found it very difficult. Mm. But your explanation, it really helps.
Mm. Okay, right now... We've gone through examples, so maybe this will help you figure out. Anyway, don't worry if you don't get complicated and we just work on it.